Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not the one that I wanted.
Get the one you want.
Welcome back into the Fantasy Football Sunday podcast. I am your host, Steven Serta. I swear, eventually we're going to have some updated news on some fantasy things we are working on here at 610 Sports Radio. We do have some production and stuff like that that we're working on. I just haven't really gotten around to it because I'm a busy person. I am joined by Dusty Likens.
I'm glad that you decided to introduce me after you introduced everyone to your problems.
As
Steven Serta, everybody.
As
10 to
per
2.
Use.
Per use.
We did do a waiver wire pickup podcast this week. Make sure you go download that at 610sports.com or on the radio.com app.
Do it.
But we want to get into some matchups a little bit. Tomorrow night's Thursday night football, Titans-Jags. I'm sure most people aren't super excited about that. I do have DJ Chark going. He's been pretty good. Hopefully he can keep it going with Gardner Minshew as his quarterback. But where we actually want to start today, Chiefs running backs.
Yeah, man. It's getting horny, right? No helmet on LeSean McCoy today. No helmet on Damian Williams today.
So maybe the game of the weekend.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, it's at noon on Sunday at Arrowhead.
Okay.
So it's like, it's going to be a great game, but it's not like it got moved to a primetime window or something
sure,
like
because
that.
Because they can't. If it was week four, it would have gotten flexed in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But it's at noon on Sunday.
That's right.
It's an early game.
And it's going to be so rainy and disgusting, too.
But Chiefs-Ravens.
Right.
Going to be awesome, we hope. You know, Lamar Jackson has looked like an MVP candidate so far in the season. Patrick Mahomes is...
holding
just the most ridiculous quarterback that I've ever seen in my entire life. That touchdown, that first touchdown pass to Mecole Hardman last week that didn't get called back because of a penalty, he threw that off of 1 foot.
Was it his bad foot?
It was like, yeah, like because, you know, he still has a bum ankle. He's still moving around a little gingerly. He literally threw it off of 1 foot, 60 yards in the air, and it was just one of those things that, like, you see it, like, he sees it in a split second, and he just, like, his reaction time's so quick, it's just like, wait, what?
And it looks
no
like
no one else can do that. That's stupid.
And he's just, like, flicking the ball, too, which is...
yeah.
Can we just go ahead real quick? I know this doesn't have to take up the whole time, but, like, maybe Pat Mahomes was a first-round pick. Like, his touchdown passes are 40 yards almost every time, which
I
is
mean,
damn near two.
Honestly, I don't even have an issue with you, like, with all the people that took him number one overall anymore.
I'm sorry for being crazy, like, on that, but yeah, I forgive anyone.
I mean, I still wouldn't do it personally.
My God.
But I don't really have a problem with it now because, I mean, the dude, he's just 350 yards, four touchdowns every week.
Every week.
Like, that's like his floor right now.
Yeah, ceiling's like six.
Yeah,
and
his
five.
Ceiling, and if he doesn't, against the Raiders, if he doesn't get that 72-yard touchdown callback for Mecole Hardman, he's got over 500 yards in that game,
and
he didn't
touchdowns.
Do anything in the first quarter.
No.
Like, they were just dicking around in the first quarter.
Or the third,
They weren't even trying in the first quarter.
And what's crazy, too, is that, like, they know you're not going to run, and they still pass, and they still get... It's not the thing that they get, like, Tom Brady, how he could have like three touchdowns, 300 yards. It doesn't make sense. But like Mahomes, it just gets like it's 25 yards a throw, which in fantasy, for most fantasy leagues, that's 1 point every time Patrick Mahomes throws the ball. And then he throws touchdowns of 40 yards. So you do that math, that's almost 6 points every time he gets a touchdown, which is the same amount of value that a receiver gets minus the catch. But yeah, that's all I want to say about Patrick Mahomes. I'm sorry to people that I thought you were crazy for taking him in the first round. So, God, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I agree with O.J. Simpson for once in my life.
I still don't think it's the smartest thing in the world to do.
It's doing pretty good right now.
I still think that a lot of people who chose to take Patrick Mahomes number one overall, I think that their teams probably maybe are 2-0, maybe 1-1 because you had Patrick Mahomes, but I don't think that you filled out your roster quite as nicely because you took Patrick Mahomes number one overall when there's still tons of value to be had at the quarterback position. But I'm not quite as mad about it.
No.
Because if the dude goes out and throws for 55 touchdowns, you can't really complain about it.
Yeah. But the running back situation, right? So now we get to gloat our own horns about Darwin Thompson, who we were both high on. We both have him rostered. Is that right? Most of your leagues?
I have him in one league.
Serta's in like 18 leagues because he's nice. I just picked him back up today. I dropped Will Fuller. I know that might be a mistake. Yeah, I just think that Darwin Thompson, you need to keep your eye on this week in the Chiefs running back situation. It's Chad Kelly. You don't need to think about that. We both have reminders of Adam Schefter, and he just tweeted the Colts have waived a quarterback no one cares about. But anyways, I think this week you need to keep your eyes on Darwin Thompson because if they're not practicing with a helmet on Wednesday, of course, is basically the reveal day to the rest of the week. Thursday is the most important practice day, I believe, because that's how you know if they're in there, they're going to play. If they're not in there, they're most likely. If you don't play on Thursday or practice on Thursday, you most likely don't play on Sunday. I know Andy Reid's different. He wants to get these two. One of these guys is a vet that's going to get time as whatever. One's got a foot injury. One's got a knee injury. But Darwin Thompson, man, a lot of pop at the beginning of the year and in training camp. Also, when it came to preseason, I know you're more advanced on Darwin Thompson than I am, but we both agree that he's definitely somebody you should roster this week. I believe that's true.
Well, yeah.
You don't have to start him.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely somebody you should probably pick up if he's available. And he is available in a lot of leagues right now, I believe. I mean, probably not in the Kansas City market.
Sure, which is to be expected because everybody in this market took Mahomes first overall.
Yeah, because as I mentioned earlier this week, like,
he's available in 80% of. He's only rostered in 20%, right?
Yeah, like you don't have you don't have Tyreek Hill for another month or so.
Maybe
you're going to play. Get out of here with that.
you love that?
His sling was off in the locker
Looks
room.
Great.
And he's dribbling around. Yeah, I'm sure that means he's ready to get drilled by a 240-pound cornerback.
Yeah, he's back for full contact.
I'm sure that means he's ready to go. I'm sure Sweet Rick's over there oh, yeah, he's good.
Yeah, his clavicle almost went through his heart, but he's fine after a week.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine for him to take full contact.
I had to throw that jab. I thought that was funny today on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, man. No, he looks like he's ready to go. He's at least a month out. DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce. You start all those guys, right? Like you have to start all those guys every week. Their floor is 100 to 150 yards and a touchdown for every single one of those players every single week. And Kelce seems like he's the safest option right now.
Yeah.
Like he's, 90 yards and a touchdown. Like that's his floor every single week with Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback. Everybody else is probably going to be a little bit more of a dart throw, but that's the upside that you're looking at in this offense. That's what you take. And it's different than your normal boom or bust player, like your normal DeSean Jackson or Robbie Anderson. Like, this is consistent. They're doing it all the time.
Right.
It's just going to different people every week. So the risk is worth it, in my mind, to start those guys every week. But you haven't gotten anything out of the running game so far. So, like, in a couple of leagues that I'm in, somebody took LeSean McCoy, and it was after the Bills had already cut him.
Sure.
And then the Chiefs signed him later that day.
Right.
I did two drafts that day that he got signed by the Chiefs. And they were super ecstatic about it because they assumed that he was going to be the starting role. Now, it has been a two-headed type of thing, but neither one of them's been that effective. Like, LeSean McCoy is a better runner. I think he's a more talented running back than Damian Williams. He's just old. He's just not the same player that he used to be.
Yeah.
And Damian Williams, in that regard, is a talented player. He's obviously looked like a good pass-catching running back, but he's not a guy that's going to continue to get you carries. So I think Darwin Thompson does still have upside. And that was part of the reason I was saying I wouldn't draft Damian Williams in the second round all offseason is because he's never stayed healthy. Now they're both hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, LeSean McCoy was, he was involved, but, it was like walkthroughs and stuff like that. He wasn't full participant in practice. Damian Williams isn't practicing. Remember, Damian Williams missed a bunch of training camp, too.
He did.
They with an injury.
With frustration, too, from the coaching staff.
Yes, and Andy Reid was noticeably frustrated about it because, you know, they didn't go draft anybody.
No.
They didn't go sign anybody. And there was some. There's some good running backs that were on the market this offseason. Some guys that they should have taken a look at that they didn't because they thought that Damian Williams was going to be their top guy.
Right.
He's hurt again. And this was the issue that I warned everybody about. He's literally never stayed healthy in his entire career prior to that run last season into the postseason, which everybody was saying, oh, he's Priest Holmes now. Priest Holmes. He's a guy who's literally going to be a top five running back in the NFL. He just never got a fair chance in Miami. No, there's a reason Priest Holmes is literally like the only player that's ever done that.
Yeah.
Like, Damian Williams is a talented player, but come on. Like you can't be shocked about this. So, yes, if Darwin Thompson's available in your league, go pick him up, put him on your bench. I don't think you start him. I'm actually trying to trade him right now because I'm in leagues with a bunch of Chiefs fans, and if I can get value for him, I'm going to do it because I don't think that he's going to be the lead back. And Darrell Williams was getting carries at the end of that game. And so I think with Darwin Thompson, I think that he is talented. I think that he has potential to have a role in this offense. I think with him, it's the pass blocking. And I don't think that they're willing to risk putting him out there and letting him letting somebody get a blindside hit off on Pat or something like that. Because, like, we were raving about that in the preseason. This is something that I tell people all the time, too, because we overreact to everything as sports fans. Is in the preseason, you know, Darwin Thompson, early on training camp, we see him getting lit up trying to pass block.
Sure.
And then a couple games in the preseason, oh my God, he knows how to block now. He's hitting blocks. Like, he's actually stuffing people. He's actually, you know, hitting people low and taking them out to protect the quarterback. But that was against second and third string guys. Like, that's not against Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. That's not against Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. Like, that's not against the top end pass rushers that you're going to see week in and week out when you're playing against number ones in the NFL. And sorry, Darwin, I don't think you're capable of blocking those guys. I don't know if you'll ever be capable of blocking those guys.
Not at his size.
Like, Darren Sproles is an okay blocker, I guess. Like, he could become that, but I don't think he's that right now. And I think the Chiefs are telling us that. So I think you have to add him, but I don't think that he's somebody. If you can add him and then he has any type of role in this offense this week, I would trade him because it's all about the pass for the Chiefs anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, with the Chiefs offense, like, you can use that as so much trade bait, it's ridiculous. Like, if when Tyreek Hill comes back in a month and you're sitting on, let's say, DeMarcus Robinson has another couple solid performances. I don't know if he's ever going to do what he did against the Oakland Raiders in the DeMarcus Robinson game that they've titled that game, apparently. Chiefs players are trade bait. The other thing I want to be overcautious about, I guess, this week is that let's see how the Chiefs move forward without their left tackle. Like, that kind of scares me with Pat Mahomes in that running game. But obviously what we've seen is Eric Fisher didn't hardly play at all in last week's game, and Pat Mahomes didn't skip a beat, at least in the second quarter. First, third, and fourth were a little bit different of a story, but I think at that point in the second half, they had realized that Oakland had no chance. I'm with Serta. I think that if you have Darwin Thompson, because if you think about it, let's be real here for a second. If you think about it, there's a lot of running backs that are currently hurt or they're not performing the way they should. And right now in fantasy football, a lot of people get eager and that brings up trades. Like, Todd Gurley's literally doing what everyone thought he wasn't going to do that drafted. Like, they're not literally using Todd Gurley the way they've ever used him before. They're not using Nick Chubb in the passing game. LeSean McCoy's hurt. Damian Williams is hurt. This is when you can flex your hog and really use people that might be trade bait, like a Darwin Thompson or a, I don't know, another backup that's in, like, what's the cat that's behind James Conner, who's also banged up. Running backs are hurt.
Jalen Samuels.
Yeah, Jalen Samuels, another guy that you can look at as well.
Well, part of the problem, too, right now, is that a lot of these teams that we thought were going to be really good haven't been very good.
No.
Like, Dallas is a team that you should have been on early in the season, but, you know, we didn't really know what the Zeke situation was. We were hoping and praying that Zeke was going to sign. Eventually he did. Obviously, that worked out. Dallas looks like they are the best team in the NFC right now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The Eagles are super banged up. And so, okay, let's talk about trade scenarios for a second, because I think you should always be trying to trade. I try to trade as much as possible before the season even starts.
Yeah.
Because people get a little trigger happy.
And they get attached to their players.
And they will, yes. And people will move guys before really understanding the value of those individual players. I've been known to do that in a lot of leagues in the past, and then those guys blow up and people get mad at me and think that I have like some type of inside information. It's like, no, I just researched this.
Yeah, it's my job.
Yeah. I just researched this. Yeah,
sorry.
And I know what athletic profiles I like in my players.
And I look at the schedule of the rest of the season.
Yeah. And I look at the opportunity.
Yes.
And I say, okay, I think this guy's got an opportunity to have an impact in this team.
Yeah.
And so I go after those guys early on in the season. And people get mad about stuff like that in a lot of my leagues, but that's why you should always be trying to trade. And a part of the problem I know in most fantasy leagues is everybody's trying to screw one another over. There's hardly ever a circumstance where a trade is actually fair for both parties. And I get that. Sometimes that's the price of doing business,
right.
But that's why you always got to have other trades in the works. That's why you always got to be looking for other
just
stuff.
Just because you're trading for a guy doesn't mean you plan on keeping him on your roster. You might be trading him to trade him for somebody else. Like, it's kind of like the game of pool. You're always worried about your next shot, not the shot you're currently on.
Also, okay, so this week I've had a ton of people send me screenshots on Twitter.
God, you're popular.
I am, man. Just and ever growing.
I've got less than 900 followers, so I have
no limits. So go follow at Dusty Likens on Twitter. I'm all the way up to like 2,300. But so I had a lot of people send me screenshots and messages and stuff on Twitter this week asking about trade situations.
What's the most popular one you've gotten?
It's mostly people trying to trade quarterbacks to teams that lost Drew Brees or Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay.
In that circumstance, if I was a Ben Roethlisberger owner or a Drew Brees owner, I would not be interested in trading anybody for a quarterback because I think that there's value on the waiver wire. I think that you can go get guys on the waiver wire, and you just have to play the matchups based on who your backup is. Like, if you're
quarterback by committee,
if your quarterback was Ben Roethlisberger and Cam Newton, yeah, that's a different story. That's a different situation where I would be a little stressed out and I'd be freaking out and I would probably try to go make a trade. But in that particular situation, I don't think that I need to wheel and deal to get another quarterback because I think you find serviceable guys on the waiver wire. That being said, if somebody's going to offer you Patrick Mahomes or Dak Prescott, who Dak Prescott has shown that I think Dak Prescott's a legit elite fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, he's
right
comfortable
now.
In that Kellen Moore offense, man.
Yes, and he was, and Dak Prescott, the back half of last season, was an elite fantasy quarterback. He started out the season really slow, but after they added Amari Cooper, after they kind of got into a rhythm down the stretch and they went on that run to get into the postseason, like Dak Prescott was an elite fantasy producer at the quarterback position, and he has kept it going this season. So and Dak Prescott's a guy that I would target if he's available in a lot of leagues because I don't think people are looking at him like that yet, and they should be.
Right.
I think that people look at Russell Wilson as much more of a viable, like, elite fantasy option than they do Dak Prescott. And I think I would rather have Dak Prescott than Russell Wilson.
Because Dak's running more with his legs than Russell Wilson is these days. Like, Russell Wilson, I think the running days they're not as there as they used to be, obviously, as he's older.
Dak's just in a better situation.
Correct. In a better line.
He's got a better offensive line. He's got better weapons. And Michael Gallup did get hurt. He's going to be out probably a month.
He's got the best running back in the game.
But, you know, that Devin Smith, former New York Jet,
right,
tore two ACLs. His
why
carved
is that
out
joy to your
his
face?
Carved out a role on this roster.
Two blown ACLs.
I know.
God, what do you think about Darius Geis? That guy's brutal too.
Well, I mean, I think that guy needs to question whether or not he's got the right type of dedication to make it in this sport.
Real quick, on your quarterbacks on the waiver wire, I'm just looking at my league in ESPN, and I'm in a 12-team league. It's pretty serious, $100. Everybody pretty much pays attention to the point. Winston, Brissett, Stafford, Cousins, Mason Rudolph, Case Keenum, Mariota, Derek Carr, Flacco, all those guys are available, and a lot of them have favorable matchups. Carr, terrible matchup against Minnesota. Mariota against Jacksonville, not a good matchup. Keenum against Chicago, also not good. But Rudolph, new quarterback in the system. They're probably going to see what he has against San Francisco. Cousins plays Oakland. I know Jameis Winston scares the crap out of everybody, but he plays the Giants. And Brissett plays Atlanta. And Atlanta doesn't really have that great of a defense. And that could be a shootout in that game. So those are just some available quarterbacks that we're talking about in this league.
Yeah. You can find value on the waiver wire, but a lot of it is people trying to trade quarterbacks. So if you can go get Dak Prescott right now,
yeah,
I think you do it. Because I think that's if that's a move that you can make and you can make it at a reasonable cost where you give up, like I would give up Sony Michel for Dak Prescott.
You think somebody would do that?
Yeah.
You think it's a 1v1 with Dak? It'd be a 1-for-1?
Yes. Yes, because people don't value... People would look at Sony Michel and be like,
Patriots.
Well, he's the number one running back on a really, really good offense. So, I mean, generally, you don't trade a number one running back for a quarterback.
Correct. Like,
in most circumstances, unless it happens to be a Patrick Mahomes. But I would be perfectly comfortable with moving Sony Michel for Dak Prescott because I think Dak Prescott is a potential league winner if you've got the other pieces in place.
Correct.
Like, if all you did... You know, if you drafted Ben Roethlisberger to be your starter and Cam Newton's your backup...
You're screwed.
You're screwed.
Yeah.
You're screwed. Cam Newton's in a walking boot again.
Right.
And you probably coming out of your draft, say those were the two quarterbacks you took, you were feeling good about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, man, I got really good value at Cam because he's injured, but once he gets healthy, he's still a baller.
Right.
You know, Ben throws it a ton. He throws 45 times a game. You know you're going to get a bunch of volume out of that offense. And now we're not even 3 weeks into the season, and you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you still have a good team other than that, and you can move a top 20 running back, I guess, right. is what Sony Michel, I would put Sony Michel.
I think that's fair.
I can move him for a guy that I think is going to be a top 3 fantasy quarterback.
Sure.
I would do that.
Yeah, I'd say Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Dak Prescott are your top 3 in the first 2 weeks of the season. And that's going to continue moving forward because there's some bad defenses in the NFC East. Bad defenses.
Yeah. There's some bad teams.
And the NFC in general, that's more deep than the AFC, but still, like, yeah, there's not a lot of good teams in the NFC East. But I agree, man. I think you should. Like, if you could trade, like, a Freeman, even like a Devontae Freeman for a Dak Prescott, I'd do it.
So, a team that I am heavily invested in a lot of leagues.
The Browns.
It's going to hurt me. No, not even the Browns. I am invested in the Browns a little bit, not as much as you would think for how much I love them.
You still love Nick Chubb as much as you do?
Yes.
Why?
I do still like Nick Chubb.
But he doesn't catch the ball. He has a bad offensive line.
He will get that role figured out. Catch the ball. He's done it before.
But they're not letting him.
He's fine.
You going to talk to Freddie Kitchens?
Yeah, Freddie needs to chill out.
Okay, well, he's not. He is chilled out. He needs to amp it up a bit. I traded Nick Chubb already.
It has
week
to
three.
Do with the offense as a whole. Yes, their offensive line's bad.
Odell looks good.
They did
good.
Not address it. They traded away their best offensive lineman for whatever reason.
The joke
they've been
that
dumping
I haven't
offensive
seen at all.
Linemen for 4 years now. I don't know why.
Because they're the Browns.
He had a touchdown week one. He got hurt in that game against the Jets. He got a concussion.
Okay, and then but I mean, I'm just saying, like Chubb is nowhere to be found. Last game he had 19 points. He had an early touchdown, but he's just they don't throw him the ball. And I'm afraid for my life for when Kareem Hunt comes back in week 2.
We're 2 weeks in.
Okay,
we're 2 weeks in.
They have
Nick
a bye in
Chubb
week 6, and then Kareem Hunt's back in week 8.
Nick Chubb is a very good football player.
I no longer have a Chubb for Chubb.
But
so.
The Philadelphia Eagles just got decimated by the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday night.
Deshaun out.
Alshon Jeffrey got hurt. Deshaun Jackson got hurt. Dallas Goedert got hurt. Carson Wentz got hurt and left the game at one point. He did come back. Zach Ertz got hurt, left the game at one point. He did come back. Darren Sproles, I'm pretty sure, got hurt, left the game.
Shocker there.
He did come back. They lost Tim Jernigan for like 6 weeks because he broke his foot. They already lost Malik Jackson for the season in week 1. Like, this Eagles team is just falling apart right now.
So you falling in love with Aguilar again?
And I am. It is crushing me because I have a lot of shares of Carson Wentz. Because my strategy was, they were so deep at every offensive position, it was like, dude, there's just too many mouths to feed. Instead of drafting a lot of Eagles offensive players, because I assume their offense is going to be good, I'm just going to get the guy who's going to be throwing to all of the offensive players.
Yeah.
So I drafted Carson Wentz in a bunch of leagues, banking on the fact that he would stay healthy, return to that MVP caliber form we saw a few years ago. And now everybody is just falling apart. I'm a little bit worried about it, but they seem optimistic that Jeffrey and Jackson, like, they couldn't. Jeffrey's got some type of calf injury. Deshaun, I don't even remember what his issue is.
It's like a quad, right?
Yeah, but they're saying Deshaun's probably going to miss a couple of weeks. I don't know if they've actually put any news out.
They also said that about Jeffrey, but that's because
Alshon Jeffrey.
That's because they're playing, like, what, three games in, like, a two-week span almost?
Yeah, it's
Thursday night, Monday night, Sunday
night. Yeah, they've got some short windows between games. So, I mean, that raises the value of Nelson Aguilar, who had over 100 yards in that game on Monday night. He also dropped what would have been an easy game-winning touchdown.
You ain't lying.
But, I mean, I think he's definitely an add in your league. He has to be in what's going to be what's still a good offense. Like, what's still an offense with a good offensive line that's going to have a reasonable running game. Zach Ertz is still there. Zach Ertz is going to command all the volume that he commanded last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Nelson Aguilar is going to get looks, I guess. So I would go pick up Aguilar. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who I dropped in the league, he's a guy that you should definitely be interested in.
Right.
But I'm starting to worry about Philadelphia. I really am.
Is it because the injuries or just because, like, you're worried about Wentz more than anything? Like, maybe he's not the MVP caliber quarterback that we thought he could be, because he looked terrible against Atlanta.
Yeah, but
Atlanta.
That was just an ugly, ugly game. Like, Atlanta is, that's Dan Quinn's wet dream, is what that game that they just played.
My God. Dan Quinn's wet dream.
Yeah, that game that they just played is Dan Quinn's wet dream. That's what, since he started assembling that defense in Atlanta, that was everything he's hoped and dreamed that it would be. And I loved Atlanta's defense last season, and they just had tons of injuries. They wound up with like seven starters on IR at one
Correct.
Point last year.
What?
Okay, so stick with Atlanta. Where are you at with Cal Ridley right now? Because Cal Ridley's balling again, man. And last year he balled in the first couple games he was in. But I mean, I know Julio Jones has actually scored in back-to-back weeks, which is really surprising with Julio Jones. But my God. Calvin Ridley is playing out of his mind already again.
Yeah. Oh, I think Calvin Ridley is just a great player.
You play it like, I don't know. I need to make a trade for Cal Ridley. I just came to the top of my head.
I mean, especially if you're a Michael Gallup owner who's going to miss at least a month because he's got to have his meniscus shaved. I still don't know what that entails.
Weird.
I don't know how that's like an injury. Like, do you tear a meniscus?
Do they actually use like a razor?
And then it like protrudes? I don't know.
I
but
mean, your
they,
meniscus
was,
sits like right in the middle. It's like down here on your kneecap. So,
yeah,
I mean, they got to go in there.
They said his
like,
meniscus has to be shaved. And
is that different than a scope?
I'm pretty sure Joe Mixon had the same thing last season, and he missed a month.
Him up. Yeah, it messed him up.
He missed a month, and then he came back, and he was pretty effective still. So I think Michael Gallup will be just fine. It does suck because he actually led the Cowboys in targets through the first 2 weeks.
For sure.
Obviously, that raises the profile of some of those other Dallas pass catchers. And Amari Cooper is going to continue to get a ton of volume. Devin Smith's a guy that we already mentioned. He had a good game, I guess. I think he's set
is
up this week.
Is this two ACL guy?
Yeah, he's set up this week to have another good game potentially. So.
Also, don't want to do it again, but we told you to pick up Jason Witten at tight end and touchdown
last
week.
I did not.
How's it going? Touchdown last week, 12.5 points in ESPN Fantasy Leagues. Better than my guy, TJ Hawkinson. Didn't do anything. Jason Witten, man, I'm telling you, red zone machine. I'm just throwing it out. He's a red zone machine.
Yeah,
and Dak finds him, man. That's 2 weeks, two touchdowns. The best announcer on Monday Night Football's history, Jason Witten.
Some of the most frustrating stuff of week two of the NFL season. Tevin Coleman already injured for the San Francisco 49ers.
Correct.
Matt Breida looked like he was going to be in the lead role. We figured Raheem Mostert was going to have some type of role. He was a badass. Matt Breida was also a badass. He averaged like 10 yards per carry.
Yeah, you were pissed about Mostert, though. I remember that tweet when he had that long touchdown.
Mostert had like seven or 8 yards per carry.
And then boom.
He got the touchdown. I think he got two touchdowns. And then Jeff Wilson came in, the third string running back they just brought up from the practice squad.
Correct.
He played last year when they had a bunch of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
He came in and also had a touchdown. So Matt Breida looked like the baller that we know that he is. But he didn't get any touchdown work. And then Kyle Shanahan today said that Raheem Mostert's going to be their red zone back. And it's incredibly infuriating because Matt Breida is obviously the most talented runner on the team.
According to Steven
Is averaging 10 yards per carry. He only had like 13 carries in that game. and he's not going to get an opportunity to get a touchdown ever unless he breaks off like an 80-yard run.
Oh, my God. He's a Breida fan. He doesn't like Mostert. He's just not a fan of him.
I mean, I like Raheem Mostert. Raheem Mostert had a brutal arm break last season. It was disgusting.
You didn't laugh about that. Like, you laughed about that other guy's torn ACLs.
Uh-huh.
And a shaved meniscus, but I guess when it's a gruesome arm injury, it's that, man. I feel bad for you.
I didn't laugh about that guy's ACLs.
Yeah, you did, and you're still laughing. You're literally lying to everyone right now. You're still hysterically laughing about a guy blowing out two ACLs, and you also thought it was hilarious. The guy gets his meniscus shaved.
I don't think it's hilarious.
You can't even do it. You can't even talk about it.
I don't think that it's hilarious that he blew out two ACLs.
Okay.
I was just thinking about the fact that once upon a time, that guy was thought to be like a real prospect for the New York Jets. Mm. And then he tore his two ACLs.
Here comes the
and
grin.
And nobody's heard of him since until he caught like a 70-yard touchdown on Sunday.
We also talk about Robbie Anderson's profile pic on ESPN's leagues. My goodness, that hair is outstanding.
I haven't seen it.
I don't know where we're at right now. We were talking about torn ACLs.
So Matt Breida, infuriating. That's in a full committee, but I mean, all of those guys are going to have roles. So literally, Breida and Mostert are the guys to own. But if you're in a super deep league, Jeff Wilson's a guy you absolutely have to add right. If he hasn't been added in your league already. But Breida and Mostert, the same thing with Coleman and Breida, are going to have weekly starting fantasy value. Philip Lindsay, the Denver Broncos, got shafted against the Chicago Bears. Phil Lindsay is a guy who was taken quite a bit higher, second-year player, of course, who had a breakout year one campaign. Him and Royce Freeman are just in a timeshare now.
Yep. Again,
him and Royce Freeman are literally just splitting things 50-50, and Royce Freeman has been a little bit more effective. Philip Lindsay was at least supposed to have the passing game locked down, and Royce Freeman actually had more catches and more yards than Philip Lindsay did this past week against the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with Philip Lindsay. I know a guy that drafted him in our league had him last year, and it was a really good play. This year, he's now riding the pine for nine, to steal a word from or a phrase from Rex Hudler. But Philip Lindsay is not a guy that you should have in your starting roster right now due to the fact of he's not getting the production that he once had. Is that injury, or what's going on with Philip Lindsay?
He's coming back from the wrist injury, which ended his season early last year.
Sure.
I just don't know if, coaching change and these players, so often it's not even about talent. It's a product of circumstance. But we also see a lot where, a guy will come out of nowhere. He'll have a breakout season and then he just kind of disappears. And,
right.
And that happens a ton in the NFL. Zach Stacy comes to mind. A Jeremy Lankford comes to mind. Like, these are guys that came out of nowhere as rookies and had had 1,000-yard seasons, and then 2 years later they were just gone. Thomas right. Rawls for the Seattle Seahawks, like you see guys like that, you see stuff like that happen all the time. I think Philip Lindsay's a little bit more talented than those guys. He got voted into a Pro Bowl last year. It was because a lot of other guys sat out. That doesn't really mean much, but he still got the opportunity. It just feels like, maybe it's a system. Maybe Vic Fangio and his coaching staff just prefer the bigger bruising style of running to Royce Freeman. Because Royce Freeman, he doesn't look particularly special.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing about Royce Freeman makes me think that he should be a 25 a carry a game back. Like, he's not explosive. He's not fast. He doesn't do anything particularly well, so there's nothing exciting about Royce Freeman.
Yeah, and also you got to remember, Philip Lindsay was an undrafted free agent out of the University of Colorado, so he's basically like a backyard experiment that worked out last year, and now it's just not working out as well. So don't forget about that. I mean, he's undrafted.
I think that they both have starting value. I would like to see one of them take control of that, but through 2 weeks, it is a legit 50-50 time split. They can't decide which one of them is more effective. And recently, it's been Royce Freeman. So I think Royce Freeman might be the guy that I would rather own right now. It's not a situation where, like, Tampa Bay, where Ronald Jones had a really good week one, and then he played, like, seven snaps in week two, and Peyton Barber came out. Like, it's not like that where they keep going back and forth. They can't make up their damn minds about who should be the starter. Like, it's a legit 50-50 time split.
Which I don't like that in running back situations.
No,
I don't think anybody does.
I don't like that in any situation. You don't split things 50-50 with people all the time, with anybody in any walk of life, really.
Which is kind of like what's going to happen with Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
And it's not going to happen because Chubb's better
at catching. That's not true.
But wrap this thing up. So real quick, before we get out of here, what are you going to do with the Saints' offensive players without Drew Brees for the next month?
I'm going to stay away from anybody that's not Alvin Kamara, which means if you didn't draft him in the top 7 picks, then you probably don't have him, so you don't need to worry about it. Obviously, Michael Thomas, you have to play because he's a top 10 pick. But anybody else, I'm staying away from. Don't want any part of it because that team has just been the head has been cut off of their entire leader, and that's not good for teams in the NFL.
Yeah. Do not trade for Traquan Smith. What about the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Stay away. I don't trust Rudolph yet. James Conner's banged up. Juju's still banged up after the other game the other night. I don't know if he's ready for that role as the number one receiver. I stay away from anybody in Pittsburgh, even though I've rostered McDonald. It's not good for Pittsburgh as well.
The James Washington-Mason Rudolph connection is going to be a very real thing. They played at Oklahoma State together. I'm trying to pick up James Washington in multiple leagues right now because they have lit it up together in the preseason.
It's got to go better than the Moncrief connection.
Yes, and Dante Moncrief is absolutely terrible. So
trash.
We will catch up with you guys next week after week 3 of the NFL action. Thank you guys for listening. Have a good week.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.